Great music. Appreciate those that play. And like I said, it's good to be here this morning. And Steve must not told y'all he's out of town, so y'all are here now. Gotcha. But no, it is good to see everybody. Y'all love to teach the word and preach the word. And it's just a joy to know that as you hear others teach, you think that, I don't know about you, but gosh, it's so hard to feel like you can remember everything. Ain't that right, Hoag? Hoag will amen me on that. But no, but it's so awesome to come in and you hear teaching and preaching and you feel like you can grasp something. And of course, by the next week, I've forgotten it. I need to learn it again. But you can never get too much of the Word of God. It's what we stand on. It's what we believe. And it's what we have our confidence in, our faith. And so I hope through the week, not just on Sundays, but that you're in your Word. This morning, I want to welcome everybody that is, I believe we're on the internet. I could honestly say that, since you can't see me on the internet, I could tell you I look a lot better than Steve, but I don't sound a lot smarter. So those that can see me live, I don't look any better than Steve either, but they don't know that on the internet. But it is good to see everybody. This morning I want to talk about why Paul is important. Why Paul is important. And I think it's extremely important for us today to know our faith. We have to know to defend our faith and what we believe and the doctrine that we believe. Many people tell me through the week, why do you make so much about Paul? And typically if you're not making a lot about Paul and his office that he holds of the gospel of grace, then you're making a lot of about something else that's going to get you nowhere or you're in the wrong timing. And so every believer needs to know why the Apostle Paul is so important in their Bible. Every believer needs to know. We need to remember a few things just to take note on. He wrote more books than any other writer in what is known as the New Testament books. So he must be important just by noting that. We also know that the Apostle Paul communicates truths that other writers don't even mention. So he must be important because of that. But why is this one apostle so important in the Bible? Why did God give him such a prominent place? I believe it's because of the unique position that he holds as the apostle to the Gentiles. In Romans 11:13, if you'll turn with me real quick to there, we'll just get started right off the bat. Romans 11:13. In Romans 11:13, the word says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Now, Paul's not magnifying himself. We're not here to worship Paul, but we're here to understand the office that Paul had. And this office wasn't given to anybody else but Paul. And you'll notice here, it's very singular. He says, "I am the apostle of the Gentiles." If you turn just a few more chapters over to Romans chapter 15 and look at verse 16, Paul again has a statement and he says, "That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost." So when you study the Bible, you should ask, who is my apostle? It's clear that Paul claims that he magnifies his office and that he is the apostle of the Gentiles. Well, if you're not a Gentile, then you have missed the boat already. And if you're not a Gentile, you need to ask yourself, well, then who are you? So when you study the Bible, we should ask, who is my apostle? The Apostle Paul makes it clear that he is our apostle. Why would Paul separate himself, if not different, than other apostles? Because that's what he does alone in these two verses. Why would God allow him to pen these scriptures if he's not our apostle? You either believe the scripture is truth or you don't. And that's what God did. He had him pen this. Who in the Bible has God given a spokesman for me would be the question. It would be the Apostle Paul. He makes it clear. Who gave the Apostle Paul the position for the Gentiles? Well, we know, of course, Jesus Christ, the risen Christ. It's clear in the Bible that Paul separated himself from the 12. But it's also clear that they separated themselves from him. The 12 apostles were called, commissioned, and trained by Christ in the earthly ministry. And you see that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Those apostles, some were filled with the Holy Spirit in the early part of Acts. Well, why would there be a need for this other apostle? Who is he? And who said he's an apostle? Well, the Lord did. If you look at the beginning of his letters, you will see he speaks of who called him. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1. Look what the Apostle Paul says. Paul is defending his apostleship, and he says, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord?" Again, there's that office. The work in the Lord is that the Gentiles should know what was given to him. And he asked that question. Paul also saw the Lord. He had his career interrupted by the Lord in Acts 9, if you remember when he was Saul. At a critical moment in a prophetic program, Paul, or who was Saul, was interrupted with who he was, called by God. In fact, just as a reminder, let's go to Acts chapter 7 before Saul was interrupted. Go to Acts chapter 7. And let's look at verse 51. We'll read just for a second here, because I think it's important that we notice verse 51. In Acts 7:51, we know here's Stephen, and we know he is sharing and he is bringing understanding to those who killed Christ that didn't believe he was the Messiah. And in verse 51 he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So in Acts 7, you have the wrath of God at hand. You have God that is standing. You have what was prophesied if you look in Psalms 110. But at this time, instead of wrath, what did we receive? Grace. The message would come from his main enemy, Saul, who we know today as Paul. In fact, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Now here is someone that had blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. We saw it clearly in Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was martyred, right? Remember what Jesus said? I tell you what, go with me to Matthew chapter 12 and look at verse 31 as we compare scriptures. Matthew 12, 31. In Matthew 12, 31 and 32. The word says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." So it's clear we have some differences in Scripture that we have to rightly divide, correct? That's what we have to do. And we have an understanding at this time while Christ was walking the earth in the book of Matthew, we see what was written here, that if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, then you cannot be forgiven, correct? And we also see what took place in Acts chapter 7 to Stephen. There was a blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, right? We remember that. But we also know that Paul says he was chief of sinners, that he blasphemed. So something different had to be changed. Today, there's a lot of people that struggle with what they call an unpardonable sin. They believe it today, even in this day, that's it. But clearly, Saul of Tarsus willingly did this very thing, and what did God do for him? He not only saved him, but he gave him a revelation that we hold on to today for our eternity. That is our doctrine, our faith, by what Christ did on the cross, dying for us, forgiving us for all our sins. Amen? So something that's different has changed. We see it clearly. This could only be done if that takes place in Matthew 12, that program there that we just read, that could only be done if it had been interrupted. Or the Bible would be false. Right? So we have to conclude that prophecy would have to be broken and a new dispensation would have to begin if God is not a liar. And we know today that God is not a liar. That man is. So this is what happened with the raising up the Apostle Paul. With the salvation and the commissioning of Paul, something new began. A new program in what was the purpose of God. The reason that Christ raised up that separate apostle, the Apostle Paul, was simply to proclaim a new dispensation that we're a part of today. A new message and a new order that he was establishing. That's why the Apostle Paul is very important today. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3. 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Something was different. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn with me to verse 1. Notice what was given to the Apostle Paul and why it's important. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now notice it says, not visions and revelations from the Lord. Instead it says, of the Lord. When Paul said he's seen the Lord, he isn't speaking of witnessing the fact that he is risen. It's that he has appeared to him and given him instructions. Something that was different. He had given him revelations. Given him information to give to you. That's why the Apostle Paul is important. That's why we make much of the Apostle Paul. It's for our learning and for our understanding. For the dispensation of grace today. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 2. Paul says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, of course we could go back to Matthew and have the understanding that something is different, right? Acts chapter 7, something was different than what Paul's saying because there was blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And we know that Paul is saved. Paul had been forgiven. And he says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ from heaven's glory not only saved Saul of Tarsus, not only made him Paul the apostle, and communicated to him a message that had never previously been made known to the sons of men. It was brand new. This is why it was called a secret. Paul called it the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Go with me to Galatians chapter 1. Let's back up a little bit to Galatians chapter 1 verse 11. Paul proclaims in Galatians 1:11, and let's continue to remember that God told Paul what to write. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. So we know what was given to Paul, this office that he magnifies, as the apostle to the Gentiles, who is you. We know that it didn't come from any human being, or human origin. We know it didn't come from a human viewpoint. And by the way, today, that's what a lot of religion is. It's human viewpoint. It didn't come from human authority. There was no succession of office. And all of a sudden, as people make a new pope, is what one religion will do. There's no succession. None at all. It wasn't passed down from Peter and from any other 12. He says, neither was I taught it. It wasn't that Paul went and studied about this, because let's face it, if you study about the Apostle Paul, He was a very learned man. He knew the law. He knew. That's why he was able to do what he did in Acts, because of how intelligent he was. But this wasn't something that he was taught. It wasn't there before him to be communicated to him at all. Instead, he got it from the authority and through the means and origin of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how Paul got it. Not simply the revelation from him, but Jesus Christ personally communicating directly this information to the Apostle Paul. The ascended, risen Lord of heaven only commissioned one apostle, and that was the Apostle Paul. Did you understand what I'm saying? The risen Lord of heaven only commissioned one apostle, and that was the Apostle Paul. That's why it's a big deal. Because who do we rejoice in? The resurrected Lord, isn't it? By what He did on our behalf. That He not only forgave us our sins, but He was resurrected. He defeated death. Dead and buried and resurrected the third day. Something totally different. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I tell you what, for the sake of time, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." Do you hear what the Apostle Paul says in that verse? He says he forgave it in the person of Christ. Now Paul here says that he is taking action in the place or in the person of Jesus Christ. Paul could and he did act in the place in the person of Jesus Christ. Did you get that? But turn with me something very similar, John chapter 13. Look at verse 20. In John 13 and 20. Now we just read, "To whom ye forgive anything," Paul says, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." When John 13, 20, because a lot of people will make a big deal about that, well, who does Paul think he is? Well, Paul could, and he did act in the place, in the person of Jesus Christ. But in John 13, 20, before the revelation that was given to Paul, notice what Christ says. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." So it's clear that Paul went out on the very same authority that the other 12 had back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And yet he went out, even though with the same authority, the Apostle Paul went out with a separate message. A distinct ministry that was different from theirs. And he went out with this same preaching. See, today, Paul is God's spokesman for today. Just as Moses was for Israel, just as Peter and the 12 were for the Messianic church, so it is that Paul is for you and me today. Until you and I understand the ministry and the message of the Apostle Paul in the Bible, we're never going to be able to appropriately and properly follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the dispensation of grace. And get what I say? Until we understand the ministry and the message of the Apostle Paul in the Bible, we're not going to be able to appropriately and properly follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the dispensation of grace in what we're in today. That's why the Apostle Paul is important in the Word of God today. Most important. Not because we worship Paul or we think Paul is any different than any other man, but because of what was given to Paul to give to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, turn with me. Just chapter 11, verse 1. In 1 Corinthians 11, 1, Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Turn with me to chapter 14. This is why Paul is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." How can we say that the Apostle Paul is not important for our doctrine and for our learning and for our understanding? It's clear. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that he writes unto us are the commandments of the Lord. This is the true test of real spirituality. See, today there's a lot of spirituality out there that's not of God. It's not real. And it makes people mad when you stand against it. Or it excites them because they see something new. We can't control that. But the one thing that we can control is to know why the Apostle Paul is important. And the one thing that we can do is when we understand the dispensation of the grace of God, we can share it. And that's all we can do. That's all we can do. But that's the test of spirituality, to acknowledge the things that Paul writes are the commandments of the Lord. That's why. Do you realize that in the dispensation that we live in today, that this verse is a true test of what we know, to understand, to acknowledge those things? Because to not acknowledge them would be to ignore truth. So it's not by our true test, our true spirituality doesn't come by talking in tongues today. It doesn't come by whether you tithe or not. It doesn't come by whether you hand out tracts. It doesn't come by whether you sing in the choir or whether you go to church. Our true test of our spirituality is based on acknowledging that the things that Paul writes are true. It's determined by what you do with the message that God gave to the Apostle Paul. Not to anybody else. Because the Apostle Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Not because I said it, but because the Word of God says it. And you can't mix it because it's different. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. Paul says, "If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." See, we have to adhere what Paul wrote. The words that Paul wrote are spoken by Jesus Christ. If you don't consent and acknowledge that, then Paul clearly says he is proud and doesn't know what he is doing. We are in a world today where people are sitting everywhere and they're listening to a man behind a pulpit that takes the truth of the Word of God and mixes it about. We're in a world today of a lot of confused people who are deceived because they don't understand the Word, because they don't rightly divide the Word. And Paul clearly says that he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, cometh strife, cometh railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. To not rightly divide means that they would be destitute of the truth. They may have it in their hands. You ever see anybody that has something in their hands and they still don't understand it? I was that way for many, many years. Many, many years. Thankful that I have understood the truth of rightly dividing and the dispensation of the grace of God, which we hold today and are confident in, that others need to know. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. I think it's important we make much of what the Apostle Paul says. Go with me again to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 1. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which we know is the good news, which I have preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Paul makes this very personal, what he preached unto them, because Paul was who received the revelation of the mystery. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The Apostle Paul was told to pen this because that's by which all are saved today, by believing that. Amen? Boy, I'm short and sweet today. I never realized it, but that's okay. We'll beat everybody else at the restaurants. But when you don't have more to say because the message is here, that's you don't have more to say. Mark, will you close us in prayer? Amen. Good day.